Cross-Section USA with Dwight Cook. CBS and its affiliated stations present another cross-country visit with our neighbors as a group of the USA's largest national organizations join CBS for these weekly reports. And every Saturday at this same time, spokesmen for millions of our neighbors in farming, labor, and business bring us their recommendations for action on the urgent issues which will shape our jobs and our future security. Cross-Section USA with Dwight Cook.
Good afternoon. I'm in New York today for a cross-section of the USA on a question which involves all our dinner tables, and for that matter, our lunches and breakfasts, too. And it also involves all our food budgets. Down in Washington, a congressional committee has been holding hearings for the last 2 weeks on a very special kind of a tax. And it's special in a lot of ways because it's the only tax I know of which applies only to one food. And for that matter, it's even more peculiar. The tax has nothing to do directly with the purity of that food or its nutritional value. It's only concerned with the color of the food. Can you guess the tax? Yes, it's the one on margarine, or margarine, or oleo, depending on how you name it. And today we're going to ask experts and official spokesmen for the main groups of which have been testifying before Congress to join in this cross-section and give us their reasons whether or not margarine should be taxed. The big argument here, of course, is between butter and margarine. Butter is made of animal fats from cream. Margarine is made from vegetable fats from cottonseed oil and soybean oil. A pound of butter, no matter what its shade or color, pays no federal tax. But if a pound of margarine is yellow, whether it's naturally that color or the coloring was added, the minute it's yellow, a 10-cent federal tax is slapped on it. If it's white, even if it has to be bleached to get it that color, then it's taxed only a tiny 0.25 cents a pound. And the federal penalties on margarine don't stop here. You need licenses costing hundreds of dollars to manufacture or wholesale or retail the colored margarine. And in states where margarine can be sold, you notice you usually get it white with some coloring to add yourself to save you that tax. But the penalties go even further. If you're a hospital or an orphanage and you buy uncolored margarine for your patients and color it inside your own hospital, you still must pay an extra 10 cents a pound on it because you did color it. Well, there's the present setup on margarine taxes and some of the restrictions on it. Are they wise and are they fair? Should they be left alone, cut down, or eliminated? Since farmers produce all the butter that's involved in this question of margarine versus butter, let's start with their official point of view. The official point of view of the largest organization of farmers in the USA, the National Grange. The master of the Pennsylvania Grange is waiting out in Pittsburgh now with Charles Kearns of WJAS. So let's join them. Take it, Charles.
Thank you, Dwight. And, Dwight, before we get into the pros and cons of this question, I might say that it's rather strange to be sitting here in the heart of the steel center of the United States talking with a farmer. You are a farmer, aren't you, Mr. Fullerton?
That's right.
How long have you been a farmer?
About 50 years.
About 50 years. Well, I might say it's a little surprising that you've been in any business for 50 years. I guess farm life keeps you looking young.
Sure.
How far did you have to travel today to get to Pittsburgh for this broadcast?
About 60 miles.
Only 60 miles. So that shows that here in Pennsylvania, our farms and our industrial cities are really rather close. In fact, you come from Newcastle. And how far are you from Newcastle?
About 60 miles.
60 miles from Newcastle?
That's right.
Well, you should have a pretty well-balanced outlook on this question because you'd be familiar both with the farmers and the consumers' question or opinion. So I'm going to put more or less of a double-barreled question to you first. Does either the farmer or the consumer have anything to gain by the removal of this tax on oleo?
They have nothing to gain, but I feel we both will lose.
Would you care to develop that further? Why do you feel that both the consumer and the farmer will lose?
Well, butter is not a profit item to most farmers, even at the present prices.
Well, that's a surprising bit of information for me. How is that?
Well, butter is largely the product of a seasonal overproduction and is essential to securing an adequate supply of fluid milk throughout the year. Furthermore, this profit which the dairyman makes in the sale of milk for the manufacture of butter is the margin by which many dairymen can stay in business. Therefore, if the dairyman is forced to sell a part of his herd, the consumer will secure less milk in the long run and naturally will pay more for it.
So you feel that if this market on butter is cut into, The farmer might go out of business and therefore create a scarcity and bring up prices for the consumer.
That is right. If this happens, the farmer, the consumer, and the general public will all be the losers. The consumer will lose because of the increased price of milk after the reduction of the cow population. The farmer, in that he will be forced out of business and the loss of a market for his product, and the general public will lose in that the dairy herds in the past had a tendency to build up the fertility of the soil, and a reduction of farm income will mean a decline in farm purchasing power.
And so you feel that the city worker might lose the purchasing power of the farmer. There seem to be more angles to this question than I had considered. Dwight, in his opening remarks, mentioned something about the quarter of a cent tax not being a tax on the purity of margarine. How do you feel about that? Why do you feel that this quarter of a cent tax is necessary, or do you feel that it's discriminatory, as some charges have been made?
The oleo tax is not excessive. It is merely sufficient to regulate the industry. The tax on uncolored oleo is only 1/4 of a cent a pound, and this small item is needed to finance the cost of federal inspection and ensure that the consumer is receiving a pure product.
Now, how about this 10-cent tax on colored butter? Why do you feel that that is necessary?
Well, the tax is only high when the seller attempts to sell his product as butter. And again, we state that the tax on colored oleo that the oleomargarine interests are attempting to eliminate. The proof of this is in the fact that the only color that the oleo interests attempt to color their product is the same color as butter. If they desire to have their product colored different from its natural white color, then why do they pick on some color that would distinctively mark... Why do they not pick on some color that would distinctively mark their product as oleomargarine?
You feel then if they colored their margarine purple, you would have no objections to that?
That is right.
Well, it seems that, that you feel that the dairy people have spent many years in building up this color of yellow as a very attractive color. And is it your feeling that because you have spent years making this color attractive, it is more or less your property and you don't want other people to profit on your work?
That is right. That is a distinctive color of butter. And we don't want it imitated.
You don't want them to imitate your particular color. I see. Well, thank you very much for giving us your opinions this afternoon, Mr. Fulton. Now, this is Charles Kearns in Pittsburgh, returning you to Dwight Cook in New York.
It's rarely in these broadcasts that I have to correct myself, so to speak, but in this case, I'd rather have to correct Charlie Kearns out in Pittsburgh. I did not say that the tax of a quarter of a cent on margarine was unconcerned with the purity of it. Charlie was right in part of the question. He only got a little bit wrong. I did say that the 10-cent special tax on colored margarine had nothing whatsoever, at least as far as I know, to do with the purity of it, but I was commenting on the point that again was brought up by Mr. Fullerton out in Pittsburgh of this crux of the tax being a color rather than a question of purity. You notice that Mr. Fullerton feels for dairy farmers in general and in particular that yellow equals butter and nothing else which takes the place of butter has any right to that color, which is exclusively the product, so to speak, of a cow in the fats line. But now, let's turn to the other side of the picture and get some of the arguments against having a margarine tax. This time, we'll go to the Middle West to hear from a member of the CIO Women's Auxiliary. She's today the spokesman and spokeswoman for some 7 million men and women in the CIO. And Ralph Edgar of WGAR is ready to throw questions at her, so let's join him in Cleveland. All right, Ralph.
Mrs. Alvy Chaunt of the CIO Women's Auxiliary, Dwight, has stopped in at the studio with a bag of groceries on her way home from the office. She's a working housewife, you see. And I've concluded from looking into that bag of groceries and spying both butter and margarine therein that Mrs. Chaunt bears no particular prejudice against either. But as you do say, she is on the other side of the picture when it comes to the margarine tax. She and her organization are against it. Mrs. Chaunt, why?
We feel that this is a very unfair tax on one particular product, as against another product. It's a spread. Margarine is a bread spread, and so is butter. And the margarine is taxed, and butter is not, and we feel that this is unfair.
Well, now, Mr. Fullerton, down in Pennsylvania, was saying that neither the consumer nor the farmer would gain by the dropping of that tax. How do you feel about that?
I feel that the consumer would gain because, for instance, my little grocery store doesn't can't afford to buy the license to sell margarine. Therefore, he doesn't carry it. And when I want it, I can't get it as conveniently as I can butter.
Also, Mr. Fullerton and other proponents of the oleo tax are claiming that the tax is only a means of raising revenue to prevent the fraudulent sale of oleo as butter. And also, they are saying that spread over the 700 million pounds of margarine that were sold in the United States last year, these taxes are an infinitesimal part of the retail selling price, that they don't make the price of oleo markedly higher, but do provide a means to make sure that oleo is sold as oleo. What have you to say to those contentions, Mrs. Chant?
This, again, is unfair to pick out just one particular product to protect us against. We have the pure food and drug laws, and they're supposed to protect us on all food products. Therefore, it's an unfair provision to have a special tax to protect you only on one product.
But what about the argument, Mrs. Chaunt, that the tax does not contribute materially to the price of the oleo that you're buying at the store?
Well, as far as I know, it doesn't particularly. I don't suppose the price would come down a great deal, only that it would be more convenient for me to get it. And I feel that I should be able to get it wherever and whenever I want it.
Well, Charles Kearns and Mr. Fullerton down in Pennsylvania brought up the matter of the coloring of oleo, which seems to be paramount in this whole picture of margarine as against butter. Where do you and your organization stand on the coloring of oleo?
Well, as a working housewife, as you mentioned, I'm quite jealous of the amount of time I have to spend in my kitchen. And just coloring that pound of margarine that I use every week takes me about 10 minutes. I sat down and figured one day that it worked out to be 10 hours a year. Now, I feel I could do something much more interesting and profitable with that 10 hours of my time.
Mr. Fullerton, I hope he doesn't mind my continually coming back to him, but he said, or rather he indicated, that he wouldn't object if oleo were sold as the color of purple or, as other people say, green, as long as it wasn't sold the same color as is used sometimes in the course of the year to color butter, that is yellow. Now, how do you and your family feel about green oleo?
Well, I read this argument in a magazine article, and I tried it out on my husband. And he said, for heaven's sakes, Elvie, don't ever put green spread on our table.
A green oleo would not be as palatable, you think, as yellow.
No, we've been trained to use or learned to use a yellow spread on our bread. As a matter of fact, I understand that the butter itself is colored because it comes out very pale in the wintertime, and there's no special tax against that or anything.
I think it can be generally agreed that more people have in recent months turned to the use of margarine because the price of butter has gone up to near the dollar a pound mark. But, Mrs. Chaunt, if there was less of a difference in the prices of the two products, which on the basis of quality, mind you, would the housewife prefer, do you think?
Well, I still retain my taste for butter. I like butter. And as it was the price of butter that drove me to search for margarine. And if the price comes down, I certainly will use butter. However, I saw another figure in that same article that indicates that we haven't reached the level of need of production here of either butter or margarine. Therefore, there's room for both.
So, you mean by that the butter people are not producing as much butter as there's a demand for?
That's right.
But Mr. Fullerton indicated that butter was not a primary product of the dairy industry.
Well, as I understand it, it's a byproduct. The main product is milk. And the dairy industry will not be put out of business. Children will go on drinking milk. They need it, and they'll have it.
Well, then, Mrs. Chaunt, in conclusion, for quality, you would always pick butter over oleo. Thank you very much, Mrs. Elvie Chaunt of the CIO Women's Auxiliary. Now back to the East Coast and Dwight Cook.
Well, I think we've got to get a little red in the face ourselves here, those of us concerned with the interviewing explanation of this particular tax on margin, because I think we need to make something a little clearer here for those of you who haven't all the technicalities at your fingertips. There are two different choice of taxes on margarine. One of them is 0.25 cents a pound. This is the one which Mr. Fullerton was saying was needed to ensure proper federal inspection of that uncolored margarine. I think that's a tax that Mrs. Shant meant when she said if it were eliminated, it wouldn't affect the price very much. But then, as I said a little earlier, there is also this 10 cents a pound tax if the margarine itself happens to be colored yellow. And that is a horse of a different color, or rather, a color of a different color. And I suspect the two federations of your neighbors, which are taking the most vigorous positions for and against the margarine taxes, are going to want to bring this up more definitely as we go on with this broadcast. First, we're going out to the heart of USA's Dairyland for the National Cooperative Milk Producers Federation. More than 430,000 farm families belong to it. It marketed some 18 billion pounds of milk and cream last year, and that's quite a figure. Their president is waiting out in Minneapolis with E.W. Zebarth of WCCO, so it's yours easy.
Well, with me here in Minneapolis, Dwight, is Mr. John Brandt, president of the Land O'Lakes Creamery. He's one of the largest handlers of butter in the country, as you've said. As a matter of fact, his plant's business volume was reported this week to have gone over $100 million in 1947. I was astonished to know that the volume would be that high, Mr. Brandt. But now, just as a matter of curiosity, I bought a pound of butter, and I won't tell you whether it was Land O'Lakes butter or not, on my way down here this afternoon. I wanted to know what went into it that might make the present tax protection appear either more or less reasonable. Well, looking at it didn't help me very much, but I'm sure that you can. So suppose you lead off by telling me what there is about butter which makes it necessary to protect it by special taxes. Now, we've had a reaction to that, of course, but I wonder whether you'd care to add to what's been said.
Well, first, Mr. Zebarth, I hope that the pound of butter that you bought was Land O'Lakes butter. But be that as it may be, all butter is good product. And the reason why it needs tax or needs protection is not so much protection so far as butter itself is concerned. It is a good product and naturally a real good product that's so well known and so well accepted by the consuming public is one that's going to be subject to a lot of imitations. And oleomargarine is an imitation of butter. At least that's the way they try to parade it, as an imitation for butter. Few people realize that the 10 cent tax is not a protection to the dairy industry anywhere near as much as it is a protection to the consumer. The first laws that were passed regulating the manufacture and color of oleomargarine were passed at the behest and the demand of the consuming public because they were being fooled into buying oleomargarine when they thought it was butter.
Are there actually many examples? I don't mean to interrupt you. Examples of...
There are many examples. I would like to ask my listeners to write to the Commissioner of Agriculture of the state of Minnesota and get there the first report of the Commissioner of Agriculture at the time the first laws were passed here in Minnesota. And you'll note there that they were definitely passed because the consuming public was being fooled into buying oleomargarine when they thought it was butter. And that's the reason why it was passed. Now, they may say, well, they aren't doing it now. There isn't any reason to believe that they won't turn around and do exactly the same thing over again. And even under the present circumstances where we have the color law and governing it, we do have many cases where there's still imitations of that kind going on. I ate oleomargarine down in a hotel down in St. Louis at the meeting of the National Cooperative Milk Producers Federation where we had a big convention down there. And we had a difficult time in making them admit that it was oleomargarine when we tasted and discovered it was oleomargarine. It was only after some threats that we were going to expose it that they were willing to admit it. And there we ourselves were eating oleomargarine, and, well, many of the people, except the very experts, didn't know they were eating it.
Does that mean, Mr. Brandt, that you can actually tell by taste the difference between oleomargarine and butter?
Well, you can't tell so much by taste because they do extract the taste from the lactic acid in milk, and much of the oleomargarine is actually churned in butter, and they give it the taste of butter, the salt and the lactic acid and the aroma. They try to give it as much of an imitation as butter as they possibly can. The experts usually tell by the texture, and there's a certain texture and there's a certain smoothness to butter that you don't get in oleomargarine. The common layman may not notice the difference, but of course an expert in the butter business knows it, and they usually discover it.
Well, I understand, Mr. Brandt, that you've been having a huge convention here in Minneapolis during the past week at which it was suggested that the very existence of the dairy farm here in the Northwest is actually being threatened by this present fight against the oleo tax. Now, Mrs. Chant in Des Moines said that there wasn't enough butter and that the dairy industry, she thought, would not be affected. How about that?
Well, of course, I don't think that the dairymen are going to go out of business if we have repeal of the colored tax on oleomargarine. because I do think we'll have to, maybe we'll have to change our color to some other color so that people will know that they're eating butter. But I'll bet you that if we change it to some other color, it won't be long and the oleomargarine will want that color. You know, so far as the color yellow is concerned, that doesn't add anything to its food value or palatability or anything of that sort. But it does give us a distinctive color, and it is the common law color for butter. It's the color we've known butter by ever since we've ever known that butter was made from cow's milk. And that is the thing that farmers want to protect, and they want to protect the consumers as well as themselves.
We have only a couple of seconds left, Mr. Brandt. I'd like to ask what you mean by processed butter. Just as we were coming into the studio, you used that term, and I'm not familiar with it.
Well, you know, butter has to be made from absolutely pure fat, and there can't be anything put into butter except the cream churned just as butter. If you melt down butter and you process it in any way, shape, or manner, such as you have to do in the preparing the materials and the fat for oleomargarine, we would likewise have to pay 10 cents tax. We have to pay 10 cent tax on processed butter, and dairymen want it because we don't want to fool the consuming public.
Well, Mr. Brandt, it was good of you to take time from your busy schedule to discuss this matter with us. Well, Dwight, that's the story of the National Cooperative Milk Producers Federation, and that's all from Minneapolis.
And that was a very clear and emphatic group of statements by Mr. Brandt on why he thought there should be this tax on margarine. As you notice, he centered his arguments around the need of protecting the consumer from buying margarine thinking he was buying butter. And he mentioned again that it was a very neat phrase, the common law right of butter to be colored yellow. Now let's go back to the Middle West for an equally official spokesman for the other side of this argument. As I said earlier, the two things which go into margarine are soybean oils and cottonseed oils. So cross-section's next guest speaks for both the American Soybean Association and the National Cotton Council. And to find out what he wants to add to this discussion, Bill Shipley of WBBM has his questions ready out in Chicago, so fire away, Bill.
Well, Dwight, I can see the whites of his eyes, but I'm holding my fire because I've just discovered that Mr. Strayer is a dairyman. In fact, he's right now en route to his home farm out in Hudson, Iowa, to check on his herd of milk cows. Well, now, Mr. Strayer, you're a dairy farmer, yet you've been extolling the virtues of soybean and cottonseed oils as a margarine base. Whose side are you on?
Well, frankly, I'm on the side of the consumer. I don't believe that either the producer of butter or the producer of margarine will decide how the housewife wants her table spread. I grow both commodities on my farm. I've seen the soybean industry grow from nothing up to a $700 million per year industry. We're talking about products of American farms when we talk about butter and about margarine. The housewife, in the end, is the person who is going to decide how she will have her table spreads. It will be neither the dairyman nor the soybean man.
Yes, but the housewife is interested in having a firm economy in this country. Won't the rapid growth of the oils industry harm the dairy industry of the same Midwest area?
No, in fact, it will help it. There is not enough butter to go around, only about half as much as our people would like to have. If I had any idea that the production of margarine would hurt the butter industry, the dairy industry, I certainly would not be here today.
Because you're on both sides.
That's right, but margarine is not a substitute. It is complementary to butter. We need more table spreads in order to round out a good nutritional American diet, and butter cannot supply that added quantity.
Well, you say that it's not going to hurt butter, that it's as nutritional as butter. But if margarine is as nutritional as you say, why all this worry over its color that we've heard before? Why not sell it as it comes, in white?
The housewife wants her table spreads white, just as she wants her shortenings. She wants her table spreads yellow, just as she wants her shortenings white.
Like Mr. Shant, huh?
Butter has no monopoly on the color yellow, just as lard had no monopoly on the color white. Vegetable shortenings came into the picture, and the hog producer, rather than discontinuing the production of hogs, changed the type of hogs which he was producing so that there was less lard and a higher quality meat, therefore. Now, why not sell butter white also? Butter, you know, 10 months of the year must be colored with the same artificial coloring as is used in making yellow margarine.
Well, you don't want any green margarine then either.
The housewife doesn't want green margarine.
No new look. Well, tell me, are any other food commodities taxed in this manner as margarine?
No, margarine has been singled out among all the food commodities used in this country for taxation.
Yet Mr. Fullerton says that the tax on margarine is not actually excessive.
Well, perhaps that's right. The tax on margarine is a tax on that portion of the American consuming public who can least afford to pay a tax on their food supplies. Mm-hmm.
Then actually that would indicate that it is excessive for some people.
That's right. It's a misuse of taxing power because it costs more than it brings in taxes. It costs us taxation money, in other words, to collect it, and it also costs the housewife who is the consumer.
Well, tell me, would lower prices inevitably result from abolition of the taxes?
Yes. The margarine industry is a highly competitive one, just as the whole fats and oils industry of the nation is highly competitive.
Well,
take off the 10-cent tax, you lower the price of margarine 10 cents.
If butterfat is the yardstick on dairy returns, as Mr. Fullerton indicated, how will this abolition of taxation on margarine affect the dairy industry?
Well, butterfat as a yardstick for the dairy industry is outmoded. On the West Coast and back East, they're talking about using some other yardstick. Actually, butterfat is the least valuable from the nutritional standpoint of all of the elements which are contained in milk. Calcium, phosphate, and the other ingredients are more valuable in the human diet. Butterfat as fat is no different than dozens of other vegetable oils like soybean oil, cottonseed oil, and also no different than lard.
Well, how would you use milk, then, if you substituted margarine for the butterfat?
In our estimation, milk should go into fluid milk uses. It should go into ice cream, into cheese, into condensed milk, evaporated milk, those things where the entire nutritional value of milk is used by the person consuming it.
Incidentally, Mr. Estrella, do you have any idea what the consumer wants, actually?
The consumer wants, according to many polls which have been conducted throughout the nation in recent weeks, she wants margarine. She wants margarine to supplement the butter, which she cannot get, and she wants that margarine colored yellow because she wants her table spread in a yellow form.
Well, thank you, Mr. Strayer. And you feel that the tax on margarine should be repealed because the consuming public needs additional fat, because prices on table spread would thereby be lowered, in addition, because the tax on margarine is the only one of its kind on food commodities and a prohibitory tax, right?
Right.
Thank you very much, Mr. Strayer. And that, Dwight, completes the arguments against the margarine tax from here in Chicago.
Well, you've all heard the discussion on margarine this afternoon. Maybe you know how you would vote if you were one of the members of the House committee, which has been hearing the same kind of testimony. A number of pretty clear points came past our ears, I think. The first one that comes to mind since I started with this idea of color, going back to it, was the question of whether butter has a special right to the color yellow. And, of course, I suppose if we went back to the other side again, if we had a chance to, they would point out, those in favor of the margarine tax, that if the housewife wants to pay less money for the margarine, she can do it as long as she'll go to the trouble of coloring it yellow or not having it, or take it some other color rather than yellow. So a lot of it comes down to our whimsies, if you choose, in the fact that we happen to like things colored yellow on bread. Maybe the Chinese or the Martians would say pretty peculiar people, these Americans. But anyway, that's what we seem to like. So it comes into the subject. Then the question, which was kicked around a good deal, the question of whether margarine is a substitute for butter or a complementary product to it, that again is one of those things everybody decides for himself. An interesting point came up all the way through that comes up in so many questions, is one of the things I guess cross-section tries to emphasize as much as anything else, and that is the question of interrelation. On the one hand, we could, by eliminating this margarine tax, get a lower fats for our table. On the other hand, the dairy farmers say if we did that, then the result would be that we would have to pay higher prices for milk, and the question of who gains is a wide open question. But however our organizations differ on something like this, Bob Height now has a special message for you on which I know they would all have complete and unyielding agreement. Bob?
Folks, all of us like a good thing. And it is a good thing for young women interested in a career to enroll now as a student nurse. Since the end of the war, the public has shown an increased confidence in hospitals, uses them more than ever before, and as a result, existing hospital facilities are taxed to the utmost. Student nurses are needed to help meet the situation. Opportunities for nurses are wide open. Private service, hospital administration, work with airlines or in foreign service, an interesting, distinguished future awaits the girl who enrolls today as a student nurse. Inquire today at your local hospital for further information.
Not only would all our organizations agree with that plea, but if any of you happen to have spent time lately in a hospital, and I incidentally have, you can double it in spades and no trump and say anyone go who possibly can, because boy, do hospitals need it. Next week, cross-section is going to pick up the question of housing, one of those very difficult and complicated questions which concern a lot of us. And we'll have a group of the most representative organizations of your neighbors in agriculture and labor and business to report on what they think. So until next week's cross-section on housing, this is Dwight Cook saying good afternoon from New York.
Listen in again next week at this same time for another cross-section of the USA with Dwight Cook. This is CBS, where 99 million people gather every week. The Columbia Broadcasting System.